Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, and we'll read from Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 18, we'll read verse 22. The Bible says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord."
Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, and we'll look at a little bit different aspect tonight, a little bit different subject, kind of deal a lot with the home on Wednesday, or excuse me, Sunday nights, and we're going to do something tonight that I think is helpful and practical, both to the parent and to the young person as well. And it's Valentine's Day, so you know we're talking on the topic of spouses and love and all that stuff. So it kind of fits with the theme there. But we're gonna speak tonight on the subject of the topic: how to pick who you will spend your life with. How to pick who you will spend your life with. You see, a lot of times where young people grow up and get to an age, and they pick a spouse, and you just step back and say, what in the world do you see in that person? But I think a lot of times, that ends up happening because they were never taught, how do I look for a mate? And as a parent, as a teacher, as a pastor, any of those roles, I have a responsibility to teach that to young people, to train them, to let them know how. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. When he gets to that age, he ought to know something about that. Picking a spouse is the most important decision in a person's life after salvation. The most important decision. You're going to spend the rest of your life with that person, so it's very pertinent that I nail down that I get the right spouse for my life. Young people, you got your salvation settled. You're going to heaven when you die. Praise God for that. Now, the next most important decision that you're going to make is, who am I going to walk this road of life with for the rest of my life? You get that wrong, you're in major trouble. Finding a wife, the Bible says right here, finding a wife is finding a good thing. Hey, finding a wife is a wonderful thing. When man was by himself in the garden, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone," did he not? So finding a wife was a helpful thing. We got a couple of amens. The rest of you, I guess you didn't find a good thing when you found a wife. Amen? Finding a wife is a wonderful thing. God created a man with a need for a wife. There was a hole there. There was a gap there. And so then God made the woman to fill the gap there. And can I say, finding a husband is a good thing for the woman as well. Finding a man to lead and provide for you is wonderful. But let me say this. Picking the wrong one to spend the rest of your life with is devastating. Picking that wrong person to spend the rest of your life with is going to ruin your life. It can make something wonderful into something awful. It is better off that I never find a spouse than that I find the wrong spouse. And that is the absolute truth. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9 says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman." Do I got this thing on? There we go, Brother Schroeder. I got that on now. "It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." He says it's better off that you're in a corner away from a brawling woman than you be in a house of contention, always constantly fighting. You better be careful who you pick a spouse or who you pick to spend the rest of your life with. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband." Hey, you find the right one, and it's a crown to the husband. "But she that maketh a shame is as rottenness in his bones." It's as a cancer in his bones. You find the wrong wife, it's going to be like a cancer the rest of your life. Amen. I've looked at some marriages before, and I've seen where, man, it's like a cancer. I'm glad that I'm not in that situation. Praise God for the wife that God has given me. I'm thankful for that. It's so important that we pick the right one. There's ladies that I'll talk to, and they'll say, "Man, I grew up in church. I knew better. I wish I would have taken heed because of what the situation I'm in now." There's people that you know that would claim that testimony as well. "I wish I would have listened and paid attention to what I was taught, what I learned. Once I say I do, I'm..." Exactly, you're done. That's exactly it. Hey, I'm with that person for the rest of my life. Once I say those true words at the altar there, "I do," it's over with. And that person, although that person might not be God's will for your life before then, when you say "I do," that's God's will for your life, the rest of it, because the Bible says it's for better, for worse. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. All of a sudden, that person becomes God's will. God doesn't excuse divorce because you were foolish in your decision for a spouse. "Well, I made a foolish decision, so it's okay." No, God didn't make that small lettering at the bottom of his marriage right there. There's no fine print. There's no clauses in marriage. People try to look for an excuse to justify why it's okay that I get divorced or separated. Mark chapter 10, in fact, turn over there. Mark chapter 10, verse 4. I want you to look at what God says about this matter of divorce. Because young people, you got to understand, going into this thing, it's for better, for worse. This is long term. This isn't kick a pair of tires and see how this works. If this doesn't work out, I'll just find another one. When I'm looking for a mate, I'm looking for a long term decision right here. Mark chapter 10 verse 4, what does Christ say about marriage? He's talking to the Pharisees there. He says, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Talking about divorce. They said, well, Moses allowed for us divorce. And he says, that's because of the hardness of your heart. It wasn't designed that way. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they shall be the twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Look at this. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. Hey, God put them together at the altar there, and man cannot pull apart what God has put together. And so it's a fixed thing from that point on. The reason that I believe people end up picking a wrong mate for their marriage to spend the rest of their life with is because many times they pick with their heart rather than their head. We get to that time where, man, I want a husband, I want a wife, and I start to pursue it with my feelings, my emotion, and I'm going to follow my heart. What does God say about my heart? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I go off following my heart when it comes to this matter of marriage, I'm going to end up in a bad spot. And a lot of both men and women have ended up in a very bad spot because they followed their heart in this matter of marriage. It's not about following your heart. You got to use your head in this. The world says follow your heart. God says you dare not to. You can't pick your mate with your emotions. Who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with needs to be dealt with wisdom. And God has a lot to say about wisdom. Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Hey, wisdom is a principal thing. He says, make sure you get some wisdom. When this comes to this matter of deciding who am I going to spend the rest of my life with, I need to use some wisdom in making that decision. Not just say, well, my heart is fawning over that person. Well, man, I'm madly in love with that person. No, I got to use some wisdom in deciding who I'm ought to marry. Who you are going to marry is going to determine a lot in your life. Hey, young person, who you marry is going to determine where you're at spiritually in your life. There's a lot of couples where the partner, the spouse, is limited in their spiritual life because they married the wrong one. And it's limited them for the rest of their life. And they try to grow and their spouse tries to pull them back. And it's like fighting. It's going to decide where you're at geographically. Who you marry is going to decide where you're going to live one day. Who you marry is going to decide your life financially. It very much is. There's some ladies tonight that sit in the projects because they made a decision to marry a guy that's lazy and good for nothing. It's going to decide your life financially. It's going to decide so much. Who you marry is going to determine where your kids are at and how your kids are raised. Think about that. I'm not just marrying a woman. I'm marrying a mother to my kids. That's going to train my kids and develop them in the way that they should go. Because I'm going to be at work most of the day. They're going to be the ones that spend the time with the kids most of the time. I'm deciding a mother for my kids. Hey, you're deciding a father for your kids. The spiritual leader for your home. There's two ways to receive wisdom. If I need wisdom in this relationship, two ways that I can receive wisdom. I can receive wisdom from experience. Being there, doing it before. When you go searching for a husband or a wife, you probably shouldn't have been there, done that before. It should be a first-time thing and an only-time thing. And so you're not going to have your own wisdom to go off of. Don't learn this matter of marriage by trial and error. That's not a good way to learn marriage. What's the other way I can get wisdom from? I can receive wisdom from listening to others. Somebody once made the statement that experience is the best teacher. That's what it was. That's very much a false statement because experience is not the best teacher. Other people's experience is the best teacher. Why am I going to make the same stupid mistake that they made when I can learn from it and say, I'm not making that same mistake. I'm doing this different. You follow me? And then when I see success from an aspect, success from a relationship, I'm going to pull from that and say, well, I'm going to apply that. Learn from other people's experiences. I don't want to learn the hard way. I want to learn from other people's experience, both good and bad. And so I can gather wisdom from that. Why find out for yourself that marrying that type of guy or marrying that type of girl is a huge mistake? Listen to wisdom from other people. Hey, listen to mom and dad. Young people, listen to mom and dad. If mom and dad see something that says, hey, probably not, probably not, I ought to listen. Well, I know what I want. They have at least 20 years on you. They've been around the block. They've been there before, done that before. Listen, listen. Hey, your pastor or your teachers, they say, hey, you ought to look at that aspect. Listen, listen. That's how I gain wisdom. And I can't make this decision by following my heart. We already said that. I'm going to end up in deep doo-doo. So I got to use some wisdom with deciding who I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. We're going to look at five F's. Did you all catch that? F's? Because they're not all F's. Some of them are PH's. And this is not original to me, but it is very practical. Five F's that to look for when picking who you will spend the rest of your life with. Can you handle that? Can you handle that? Okay, we're going to look at that. Here's the key. Know who you are going to marry before you choose who you're going to marry. Know who you're going to marry before you choose who you're going to marry. While you're young, know who you're going to marry. We got some kids in here. How many are 9, 10 years old? Any 9, 10-year-olds? Daniel? Any else other around that age? 8 years old? 11 years old? Okay. I've got a few in here. Hey, that's that age where I start deciding who I'm going to marry one day. You say, Pastor, that's a young age. That's the age where you wanted to start. The young lady ought to know exactly who she is going to marry while she's 12, 13, and 14 years old. The young man ought to know exactly the type of man, or excuse me, the type of woman that he's going to spend the rest of his life with. Hey, we're in an age, you definitely got to specify that. The type of woman that he's going to spend the rest of his life with. Now, they won't know a name. Well, I'm going to marry Sally. I'm going to marry... No. I'm not talking about knowing a name, but I'm talking about the type of person that they're going to marry one day. I got it down. This is the type of person I'm going to marry. This is who I'm looking for. It is too late when your heart is already fallen in love to decide who you're going to marry. At that point, it's already too late to make a list. And, well, I got to have... No, because your heart's already going off after that guy. Your heart's already going after that girl. I got to decide before the decision has to be made. It has to be decided at age 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Parents, it would be wise to have your young person write down a list. These are the aspects that I'm going to look for in my spouse one day. At that age of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Why? Why? It's because at that age, their heart is still pure. They still want what God wants. They still want... They look at Dad. That little girl looks at Dad, and she still wants the qualities that Dad has in his life. That little boy looks at Mom and wants a wife that's like Mom. Their heart is still innocent. It wants what's best for their life. It's not drawn by love and by looks and by a pretty face. It still thinks. When they get to this age where they're a little bit older and the emotions start stirring, and the hormones start going, man, this goes out the window. It's too late to decide what I'm looking for at that point. I'm chasing a pretty face. Have them decide at a young age. There is more sense in them at this age in what to look for than when they're 19, 20 years old, and that's just the truth there. Have them write it down. Make a list at that age. And let me say, keep this list for when they get to that age where they begin to look. Hey, remember what you're looking for. Remind them what they're looking for. Let them see that list. Let them be reminded of those aspects that they're looking for in their life. What is a proper time to start looking for a spouse? Can I say it's not your teenage years? Oh, we got one amen there. Praise God. It's not your teenage years. What are your teenage years? They're preparation years. You look at the life of Christ. Now, it doesn't talk a lot about his teenage years, but you know what Christ did during his teenage years? He prepared for his adult years. It's preparation years. Once again, we have Lily, how old are you? 8 years old. Daniel, how old are you? You guys start car shopping yet? No, you weren't at the Chicago Auto Show looking for a car this year? Why in the world not? You're going to buy a car one day, aren't you? Yeah? So you're not car shopping now? Well, you got a few years before then, don't you? Maybe 7, 8 years? He's got it down. 7 years. Dad, get your pocketbook ready. How foolish would it be for a 9-year-old to go out to the dealership and start looking at cars and say, this is the one I want? He's got 7 years still. Hey, a lot changes in 7 years. You follow me? A lot in the industry changes in 7 years. His taste is going to change in 7 years. So why in the world would a teenager that has all of high school and then going off to college to finish, start shopping for a mate, which is what courting and dating is. You're looking for a mate. That's the object of it. Why would they start dating at that age when I got 7 years to go still? Well, why am I going to start looking? You know, a lot changes between now and then. What they're looking for changes. That other person that they're looking at changes. There's a lot that changes in 70. So why would I pursue that while I'm still in high school when I got a lot of time before that comes? You know what happens? Two things. One of two things happen. Either they fall into sin or their heart breaks. You mark it down. You say, well, I know somebody that were high school sweethearts and they did it right. They're the exception to the rule. Everybody thinks they're the exception, but the truth of the matter is most people are not. For every one, there's 100 that didn't. So why go down that route of heartbreak or falling into sin and not doing it right? Just decide, it's not time. A young person ought to be friends with everybody. And you can call it what you want. If you're pairing off, I don't care if you call it dating or not. If you're pairing off, it's dating. You can name it whatever you want. But the truth of the matter, an egg's an egg, whether you call it an egg or a chicken. It's still an egg. Okay? Sometimes parents are so quick because we view it as cute. And especially with young people. They're at that young age. Well, is that your boyfriend? Is that your girlfriend? And we view it as cute. But you know, they're going to be boy crazy enough and girl crazy enough at an age where I don't need to stir that up at all. I really don't. They get enough of that from the TV. They get enough from that from society. I'm not an advocate of boys liking boys and girls liking girls. Naturally, they're going to like a girl, the boy will, and the boy will like a girl. I don't need to push that. Okay, that'll come to an age. Understand, there's a proper timing with all this. As a parent, when the time comes, let me say you ought to be involved in this process. That's what courting is. Dating is they're making all the decisions by themselves, no parent input, no parent involvement. Courting is parental involvement in this process. Getting some advice from mom and dad, getting some advice from your authorities. And courting ought to be something, parent, that you do in your home. And when they get to that age, when they're of that age where, hey, it's time to start looking for a mate. So a few things to look for while looking for a mate. Nail it down ahead of time. Young people, nail it down ahead of time. Parents, admonish them in this area to go down this right path. So five, and we'll look at these real quick. Number one is faith. Faith. First thing to look for when looking for a mate, ask the question, are they a Christian? Hey, get that down. Are they a Christian? I'm not talking about religious. Well, they go to church, pastor. No. Are they a Christian? There's a lot of religious people out there that attend church, and man, they have a pretty face, and so, oh yeah, they go to church, so it's okay. No. Are they a Christian? Are they born again believer? Are they saved? You got to nail that down. Hey, if they don't have that nailed down, automatically cross it off. It shouldn't happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Hey, enough said right there. I'm not supposed to marry an unbeliever. Talk about a yoke. Marriage is a yoke. Now, when we have some folks tonight. Maybe you have a spouse that's unsaved. You're already married or whatever else. You stay with that person. But a young person looking to get married, you don't look for an unsaved person. You don't go after an unsaved person. Stick with your kind. Stick with somebody that's saved. Never consider an unsaved mate. You ought to settle that, young person. Never consider an unsaved mate. If I'm not going to marry an unsaved mate, don't court or date an unsaved mate. Oh, man. That's some good logic there, isn't it? But, man, that logic goes out the window a lot of times. Well, I'm not going to marry them. We're just dating. What is dating? Dating is looking for a mate. So why are you going to date or court somebody that's unsaved if you don't have the intentions of marrying them one day? It just doesn't go hand in hand. Use some common sense in the relationship there. Don't go looking for a mate where all the lost people are. Well, pastor, where am I going to find a spouse at? Well, I tell you where not to look for a spouse at, where all the lost people are. Because you're supposed to marry somebody that's saved. Find somebody, a mate, in church. Find somebody, a mate, at church activities. There's great church camps that singles can go to. Be able to meet other Christians. Hey, ChristianSingles.com is not the site, or FarmersSingles.com to find a bunch of Christians. Alright? We get this idea. Well, it says Christians, so they all must be saved. That's not the truth. When was the last time you checked out the definition of Christian in the world's eyes? I bet 99% of the people. And I don't bet, I understand that. 99% of the people on Christian Singles are probably not Christians. They get on there because they go to church. You better be careful. You better be careful being deceived and just jumping into things. Don't go fishing for the bottom feeders either. Follow me. Well, they're saved, so that's good enough. Don't go try to catch the bottom feeder, the lowest on the totem pole. Well, they're saved, but they're so full of the world, they're carnal, but they're saved, Pastor. That's all that matters. No, don't go looking for the bottom feeder. Don't go looking for the guy that's saved but does absolutely nothing for God. Don't look for the gal that's saved but has no spiritual heart for God whatsoever. Marry someone who is already saved, they're faithful and already serving in the church. Hey, that's a person I'm going to spend with the rest of my life with. Well, maybe they'll get it down the road. Why are you going to take that chance? I mean, that's the rest of your life right there. Find somebody that has a track record, amen? That's what I want to look for. Somebody with a track record of already living for the Lord in their life. Young girls, look for a teenage guy. When you get to that age, look for a young man that's already living for God in his life, that already wants to do the right. Don't look for the one, well, he just got saved, but praise God he got saved. No, that's wonderful, but you better give him some time to see some growth there. You better give him some time to establish a walk with God and start serving God. Find someone who is a witness, somebody that's not ashamed to share the gospel. Hey, don't find a girl that says, hey, I got a life, I can't go soul winning. A big X right there. Big X, stay away. They don't have a heart for souls. Don't mess with them. Hey, find someone that's a light where they go. Not that blends in with the rest of the world. Somebody that's willing to stand out. Find someone who is mature in their faith, not a babe in Christ. This is the rest of your life we're talking about. Find somebody that's proved themselves. Find somebody that's walking with God. You know, when you get to this matter of courting, you ought to be able to talk while you're courting about what you read in your Bible that morning. You ought to be able to talk about the Lord in your relationship. You ought to be able to talk about the things of God. You know that you have a spiritual one then. You're not going to change him or her after you get married, so you better look for a spiritual one beforehand. Look for somebody that's spiritual, not somebody that makes you feel good, not somebody that talks nice, not somebody with a pretty face. Look for faith, somebody that's spiritual in their life. Young lady, you want someone that is going to lead you and your family spiritually. I don't think you want to get to that point where you've got to take the kids to church and you got to decide, we're going to have family devotions, ma'am. No, you want a husband that's going to do that. So decide, I'm going to find somebody spiritual. Young man, you don't want someone that's going to support or not support you and run out on you. But find somebody that's faithful. Find somebody that's spiritual in their life. You would be better off not finding a mate than finding the wrong mate. There's a man, Christian man, grew up in a Baptist church. As far as I know, he's saved. Ended up getting away from that because he married a Catholic woman. I think I told this story the other day, maybe on a Wednesday night or something like that. His whole family's Catholic now. He goes to Catholic church. Yes, he might be saved, but goes to Catholic church. Guess where his daughter goes to church? Somebody take a guess. Catholic church, very good. Hey, I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic church. I've been to one time. It was a funeral. It was so boring. I've been to the Catholic church one time. But I guarantee you, they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody ex-Catholic? Am I right on that? Okay, affirm that? Okay, we got two head nods there. You know what his daughter is not receiving? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You see how marrying somebody that wasn't a true Christian born again will affect your kids later on down the road? It's going to affect where your kids are raised. It's going to affect a whole lot. All we think is a here and now, and man, they're pretty, we enjoy being together. What about the other aspect? What about their faith? Number two, you ready? Faith, and then next, philosophy. Their philosophy. Find someone who is on the same path of life. Hey, where are they going? Look at the mate that you're looking at and find out where are they going in their life. Don't consider a mate that is going the opposite direction that you are. Why in the world would you pick somebody to be your spouse to spend the rest of your life with if you're going this way and they're going that way? Does that make much sense? Find somebody that's going the same path that you are. What direction are they headed? Are they planning on going into full-time Christian work? You want to know that ahead of time. If you're called into full-time Christian work, you want to marry somebody that's willing to go into full-time Christian work. Not somebody that's going to pull you out and resist and say, no, that's not what I want with my life. Hey, if you're called to be a youth pastor, a pastor, a preacher, you better find a woman. You better find a woman that's willing to follow you in that area and to support you and to help your ministry. There's a lot of women out there that are just, pardon me, but wallflowers. They're pretty and that's all they are. You can marry a pretty face, but she's not going to be much help in the ministry. In fact, she's going to be a snag to you in the ministry. I better pay attention. Are they willing to follow me on that? Maybe I'm going to the mission field. Are they willing to follow me to the mission field? Are they planning on becoming a businessman? Hey, there's nothing wrong with a businessman. If you're not called into full-time Christian work, I say go out and be successful and, man, make a lot of money. Don't let it be your boss. And then tithe on all of it. Amen? Are they going the business route? I believe a wife is called to wherever her husband is called. But you better look for a wife that's willing to follow wherever you're going. You better talk about it. Find somebody willing to go the same direction. Find a mate that's willing to go that direction with you. Not every young man or young woman is going to be in the ministry. You know, God's work is really built on good, solid Christian laymen that are serving God. So not everybody's going to be in the ministry. But you got to discuss and you got to find out, where am I headed? And make sure that they're headed where I'm headed. The same direction in our life. Will this man be successful and provide for his family? That's a question that the woman ought to ask. Will this guy that I'm looking at be successful? Is he going to provide for us? 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, "But if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Hey, if he can't hold down a job now, don't plan on him holding down a job when you're married one day. You got to look at that. What direction is he headed down? If he's not a hard worker, if he doesn't have character, man, drop him like a bad habit. I'm serious about that. If he can't work, he's not worth the salt. He's not worth the bullet to shoot him with. Just get away. Flee the other way. Find a man with character. A question the man ought to ask. Will this be a woman that will work hard in the home? Hey, if she's a slob now, guess what your house is going to look like? It's going to look like a slob house. Find a woman that's willing to have some character. Is your future going to be macaroni and cheese and SpaghettiOs? Is she willing to work and supply it in the home? I'm serious about that. You got to think, what direction am I headed? What do I want in a wife? What's our philosophy about work and character and things of that nature? What's their philosophy on child rearing? What's their philosophy on child rearing? How many kids do they want to have one day? How does, you ought to look, young men, you ought to look, how does she handle children? If she can't handle her, you know, other children, how is she going to handle her own children? What about discipline? What do they believe about discipline? You get all of a sudden grow up. We have some distant family like this. Man, he believed in discipline and bringing out the paddle, just like the Bible talks about. She wanted nothing to do with all that. No, we're not spanking our kids. Guess what our kids are? Brats. You don't discipline a kid, he's going to turn into a brat. That's just basic 101. Hey, you better talk about, what do you believe about discipline? How are we going to handle this? Get on the same philosophy. Make sure you're headed down that same direction. What about moral issues? What do they believe about alcohol? Man, we got it down straight. Alcohol is no part of my life. But there's a lot of Christians out there that say, hey, social drinking is okay. Alcohol isn't that big of a deal. A little bit here and a little bit there. What do they believe about alcohol? You marry a man that has no big deal about alcohol in the fridge and drinking a little bit here and there, you might end up with a drunkard on your hand. That's what you want with your kids. You want to raise them in a drunkard's home. That's what you want for a wife, a drunkard. You better talk about some of these issues. What do you believe about alcohol? What do you believe about drugs? I can't believe how popular pot is becoming. We're pushing that. What in the world? Man, I'm a Christian. I ought to know better. But you better check. Hey, what do you believe about drugs? What do you believe about pot and these other issues? You ought to talk about it. The other perversions out there. What do you believe about these? What do you believe about church attendance? You ought to find out what they believe about church attendance. Does he or she believe it's okay to miss work? Or excuse me, miss church in order to work? I mean, you got to talk about those things. You say, what's the big deal now? It becomes a big deal later. I want to iron out those wrinkles now. I want to understand what I'm looking for here. Be on the same philosophy. Find out where you're supposed to be in 10 years and take that path. Young person, figure out, what do I want to be in 10 years? And then find a spouse that is going to help with getting there in 10 years. Not a spouse that's going the opposite direction. Nothing wrong with marrying a plumber unless you're supposed to marry a missionary. You're heading opposite directions. Find somebody on that same pathway. Number three, third, family. Family. Find someone with a wonderful family. You know, when you marry a person, you marry their family. And that's the truth. When you marry somebody, you're marrying into their family as well. You're going to spend special days. You're going to spend time with them. They're going to be an influence to you. Hey, her parents, his parents, they're going to be the grandparents, so they're going to be an influence on your kids. I didn't say find a perfect family, because there's no such thing. There's not a perfect family out there. But find a wonderful family. You know, every family is different. Every family has their quirks. Every family has their struggles. I'm not saying any of that. You can, Let me say this, and I say it with caution, but there's even lost families out there that are wonderful families. I'm not saying you can't marry a girl because her family doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. She better. But find a wonderful family, because they're going to have an influence on you. As much as I give my mother-in-law a hard time, and I like to, my wife's family is truly a wonderful family. It really is. Man, they raised their daughter to love the Lord. They raised their daughter in church to have a heart for God. My wife has a wonderful relationship with her father. That's what you want to look for. Look for the family, because I'm going to marry into that. And if it's a mess, I'm marrying into that mess. Look for relationships in the family. Look at the son's relationship with the mother and his father. Hey, how that young man treats his mother is how he's going to treat you one day. Look at him. How does he treat his mom? Man, if he treats his mom like garbage, you mark it down, he's going to treat you like garbage one day. Well, no, he's so sweet to me. Give him 10 years. How he treats his mother is how he's going to treat his wife one day. Look at how he treats his parents. Look at how he treats his pastor, his relationships. Look at the daughter's relationship with her father and mother. Hey, does she revere and respect her father? How a young lady respects her father is going to be exactly how she's going to respect her husband one day. Hey, if that gal has no respect for her father, she's going to have no respect for you in another 5 years. I better pay attention to that. If she can't obey, if she can't follow rules, if she can't be under authority, it's not going to change when all of a sudden Mr. Wonderful is there. Hey, you're not that wonderful. It's only going to be a matter of time. I got to pay attention to these things. Look at the family. Look at the family relationships. Hey, pay attention to how she coerces dad's wallet. Hey, does she play dad? You better watch that, because she's going to do the same thing to you, sir. That's exactly it. The kind of home that your spouse grows up in will be the kind of home that your spouse is prone to. Now, that's not 100% the case every time, where every detail is going to be the fact, but the kind of home that they grew up in is the kind of home they know. That's what they grew up around. And so that's going to be the kind of home that that person is prone to. If they have a horrible home, you better go in with your eyes open, understanding, hey, there's going to be some issues here. Check out the family. Look at her mom. That is most likely who your wife will be like in 20 years. If you can't deal with her mom, you better stay away from being around her. Give her 20 years. Hey, check out dad. This is who your husband will most likely be like in 20 years, if not less time. So check that out. If I can't stand that person, I better think about this. I believe family issues can be worked past, but the young person needs to consider the family before considering marriage. Hey, marriage is a package deal. Number three, finances. Find somebody who will not bankrupt you. We laugh, but man, you think about the bankruptcy that we're in today. You think about the problems that we have today in our finances in this country. We're in a mess. You know, when you get married, you take on all the debt of whoever you're marrying. It's no longer his debt. It's no longer her debt. It's now our debt. If he has 20 grand in debt, guess what? You're now 20 grand in debt. I better pay attention. I better wake up and look at the financial aspect as well. Remember this, any debts all become yours at marriage. You know how much she owes. You know how much he owes. How responsible are they with money? Find out what the finances look like before considering the person as a mate. Hey, I'm not looking to get rich off the marriage, but I'd better be aware of some history, because history always repeats itself. If this person has patterns of not spending money wisely or not knowing how to use money, guess what? Those patterns are going to run over into marriage. Hey, you might think that gal and her spending habits are cute right now while she spends all her money on shoes and clothes. You won't think it's so funny when she spends all your paycheck on shoes and clothes. It's no longer a funny thing. You got to look at those things. You got to discuss them. Hey, if it can be worked out beforehand, great. If it can't be worked out, you're going to have problems down the road. You might think it's no big deal that he has no concept of money in his life. But man, when you can't pay your food bill because he has no concept of money, you got problems on your hands. You better figure out finances. That's an aspect that you ought to look at. If Billy or Sally are in debt to their eyeballs, all that debt then becomes your responsibility. You also bring that pattern into their relationship. Hey, let me say this. Moving in with mom and dad is not an option for you. Well, I'll just go back to mom and dad's house. No, the Bible says leave and cleave. Trouble always comes when I just decide to retreat back to mom and dad's house. Work it out. Find a way to work it out. Don't move back into mom and dad's basement. You're a family now. Work it out. Understand, hey, I got finances. I'm responsible. I'm going to learn how to work this out. Too often we have this idea, this concept, well, I'm just going to retreat away. No. You go through the hard times. You go through the difficult times. Learn. Learn from it. Understand this matter of finances is important. A couple questions you should ask. What is the last thing that you saved up for? You ought to ask your future mate, what is the last thing that you saved up for? See if they know how to save. Hey, it wouldn't hurt to ask to see their credit report. Hey, I want to see your credit. You know, that tells a lot about a person. Do they pay their bills on time? Do they have enough character to pay their bills? It's not a bad idea. Find out what you're getting into financially. Hey, you are with this person for the rest of your life. You say, that's going too far. Well, if I got to live with that person for the next 60 years, I don't think it's going too far at all. Check it out. The lasts, and we'll be done. Physical. Hey, don't marry somebody that makes your stomach queasy when you look at them. That's just common sense there. Find yourself a pretty wife. Find yourself a handsome husband. You don't want, to make this the first criteria. This isn't the first thing that I'm looking for. But you want to look for somebody beautiful. Let me say this. Make sure the person lines up with numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4. Make sure they have faith. Make sure they have the right philosophy. Make sure they have their finances in order. Make sure they have a wonderful family. And you know what happens? All that lines up. I guarantee you number 5 is not going to be an issue. Everything else works out. The number 5 you get there, and that's not going to be in the question. Is the only test that you have for who you're going to spend the rest of your life with one day, is the only test that you have, how do they make me feel? It ought to be more than that. A young person, now is the time to decide, what am I looking for? Some must-haves that I need in marriage. They must have faith. They must have the right philosophy. They must have a family that I can deal with. They must have finances that can support a family. They must have this last one, of course, that physical look. But once again, that's the last aspect on all of it. A lot of people go looking for a mate so desperate to find one. You know what desperation leads to? Desperation leads to finding the wrong one. Hey, don't go into looking for a mate of, if I don't get a mate in the next 5 years, I'm going to be a widow for the rest of my... Or not a widow. That's not right. I'm going to be... help me out. A maid. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. A maid for the rest of my life. I'm going to be a bachelor for the rest of my life. Hey, don't get desperate in this idea. I love the example or the illustration I'm able to give with the Morrises. They weren't married at age 19 and 20 years old. They waited. Hey, wait on God for Him to bring the right one. You'll never regret doing that. You say, I'm 22 and I don't have a husband yet. Wait. It's all right. You'll still live. You got another 62 years to go or so before you croak. God can bring the right one to you still. Be patient for God to lead you to the right one. It's better to live life without a spouse than to live life with the wrong spouse. Hey, if I got to go through this life by myself, I'm better off than hitching up with some jerk out there or some complete mess of a woman. Follow God's will for your life. Remember, this isn't a decision of who I'm going to spend the day with. This is a decision, who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? Day in, day out. This is a decision, who's going to raise my kids. This is a decision, who's going to be my support and aid. This is a decision, where am I going to end up in my life? Biggest decision after salvation, this matter, who will I spend the rest of my life with? Can I admonish us tonight? You're a young person in here. Why don't you look at these areas in your life? Make a list. This is what I'm looking for in a mate one day. And when you get to that time where it's time to start looking, follow that list. Don't fudge. You say, how much can I compromise on these? Why don't you decide what I can't compromise on? These are some must-haves. These are some things that I need. There's some people out there today, I'm looking for a husband. They need a good job, a car, and a house. Come on, we're setting the bar pretty low. Why don't you set some good standards up there and decide, I'm going to wait for that one that God has for me. You say, how do I go looking after the right one? You don't. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Let God bring you the right one. I don't got to go out shopping for a mate. God has somebody out there. He'll lead my way. And I'll know because it'll match up with what God has laid on my heart regarding my mate.